Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival in Gateshead. Here's Andrew McGregor.
Welcome to World on 3 in front of a lovely live audience here in the Northern Rock Foundation Hall at Sage Gateshead. And if you wanted a demonstration of this weekend's theme of tearing up the rule book, you could do worse and invite somebody who's rewritten it for herself, folk legend Peggy Seeger. She's going to be singing live with her sons Callum and Neil McColl, the next generation of the Seeger-McColl dynasty. We've also got one of the finest a cappella groups on the British folk scene, the Wilson family from County Durham, born out of the 70s British folk revival almost 40 years ago and reinventing tradition ever since. Plus, well, what I could call a fragrant stew of newly released recordings. Kinshasa's Mbongwana Star, Ivorian reggae maestro Tikinja Fakoli, Portuguese fado diva Marisa, Janoon from Johnny Greenwood, Shea Bensur and Rajasthan Express, and others as well, if we can squeeze them all in. Live music first, though, from BBC Introducing, and fresh from an appearance at the BBC Proms Plus this summer. This is a band put together in Manchester, which takes its influences from all over the world, as we're about to hear, from Cuba to Ireland to Kenya, and in the case of this first song, Brazil. With Gago Grego, please welcome Project Jam Sandwich. Brilliant. The sound of Project Jam Sandwich live here at Sage Gateshead. And the lead vocal was actually Scottish violinist Kate Foster. You just heard her rapping in Portuguese in that song by Eugenio Avelino Xangai, Gago Grego. More live music from Project Jam Sandwich in just a few minutes, a little later in this live edition of World on Three. Also the sound of a Congolese band mixing psychedelia and Sukus. First, though, here's a new release from another World on Three discovery through the BBC introducing idea, who also performed at a Proms Plus event this summer. Vula Viel is based around the sound of a xylophone made from sacred wood, which you find in parts of Ghana, and Bex Birch learned to play the instrument when she was studying there for 3 years. Vula Viel means good is good in the local language. That's the title of the new album. From it, this is Yes, Ya, Ya.
pipa, pipa. Pipa, numero un a dolce, linda na mobalila. Benga 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 benga. Yaka chale plefa, yaka pafkos.
Ma bengi ba kule ba na bashenge.
Yeah. Benga 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 bango. Bashali kata bana. Ba poti to neglige bana te.
That was Shege from Bongwana Star, their wonderful debut album from Kinshasa. That's two former members of staff, Benda Bilili, and an Irish producer, Dr. L, a rich mix of soukous, Congolese psychedelia, I suppose you could call it as well. One of the hits of WOMAD this summer, certainly. Bongwana means change. That's what they're doing with our perceptions of Congolese music, I think. And if you like what you heard, there'll be another chance to hear more from the WOMAD performance, recorded for World on Three in our end-of-year WOMAD highlights programmes, which are going out in December. Before it, you heard the sound of Ghanaian xylophone-propelled hypnotic band Vula Viel. The track was Yes, Ya, Ya, the single from their debut album, Good Is Good, released just a couple of weeks ago. I found out from their website, actually, that I think you might be able to hear them live on Radio 3 a week today, because they're part of the lineup when BBC Radio 3 as Jazz on 3 opens the EFG London Jazz Festival. Jez Nelson live at Ronnie Scott's a week today, next Friday evening. Two bands there rethinking and reinventing their traditions and fitting right in with our theme of ripping up the rule book here at Free Thinking at Sage Gateshead. Well, we've got live musicians queuing up to perform for us here at Sage. Two generations of the Seeger McColl folk dynasty later. Also waiting in the wings, the Wilson family with their a cappella harmonies. But first, let's meet the musicians we heard live at the start of the show, Project Jam Sandwich. Now, I'm going to go across to Katie briefly, first of all, because, Katie, we heard you, well, effectively rapping in Portuguese, although you're sitting there with a violin. That was a real tongue twister. How long did it learn to take to learn to do that?
It took a little while, definitely. Yeah, definitely sort of sitting, listening to various YouTube performances and just trying to internalise it, I think, and, yeah, get my tongue around it, I think.
But, and are you a Portuguese speaker, or was that completely new as well?
No, that was a new venture as well, yeah.
Well, this is kind of epitomises what you do as a band, Project Jam Sandwich. Let's go over. I'll talk to Delia, percussionist. Delia, what's behind the name?
Well, we like to sandwich different genres together, and we also like to have a bit of a jam, and it's a pretty hilarious pun, you know? So we did actually once get an order from a jam company for 40 strawberry and 40 raspberry, but, you know, we are actually a world music band, and we just thought the name tried to convey the sense of fun that we try to portray on stage.
An order for conserves yet to be fulfilled. Henry, introduce the next song for us. What are the influences? Where's it from?
The next piece is from the Czech Republic. It's a song called Ayataka. And we actually got this piece together for a chamber music festival. And we found the piece, it's quite a rowdy piece, and we arranged it in this vein. And we took it to a friend of ours who is a fluent Czech speaker, and we asked him to translate the lyrics for us. And bearing in mind we had arranged this as in a kind of masculine way, he then went on to tell us that the lyrics mean, I'm a little girl who likes doing embroidery.
Well, let's hear it. And that's a fantastic introduction. Project Jam Sandwich in Slovakia. Thank you.
Kočka,
zinielenie bom.
Rada wiem pireczka,
zinielenie bom.
Rada wiem, rada dam,
zinielenie bom, bom, bom.
I za karatka kladam,
zinielenie bom.
A ja taka zimoczka,
zinielenie bom.
Rada wiem, pireczka,
zinielenie bom.
Rada wiem, rada dam,
zinielenie bom, bom, bom.
I za karatka kladam,
zinielenie bom.
Traditional Slovakian folk song, A Little Girl Doing Needlework, not a macho drinking song after all, Project Jam Sandwich. Thank you very much indeed. Is that typical of the kind of inspiration you look for? Where do you find the songs, Delia?
Sometimes we find it from just going to other people's concerts, and if they play a traditional folk song and we absolutely love it, we might nick it, kind of in the vein of folk music, because it is about passing music on along generations, and then it evolves and it becomes your own. I think we're just taking that to a slightly more extreme level and taking inspiration from a wider source, because, I mean, we come from Manchester, it's the most multicultural place. And even in our band, we've got a South African, we've got a Scottish person, we've got someone from Bury, you know, it's super exotic. So this is kind of the society that we're growing up in, and we're just taking advantage of it.
Okay, introduce the next song for us. What are we going to hear?
So one of our first ever gigs was actually quite a scary gig. We did a live session on In Tune for Radio 3, and we had Bradley Kresick from Royal Northern Sinfonia playing this amazing tune called Black Mountain Rag, and it's a traditional hoedown, and we just knew that we had to do it. So a year later, we got the chance to go to Aldbrough Music and have a creative residential week, and we decided that we really, really wanted to put this tune together. So it's one of our absolute favourites.
Well, here it is, Project Jam Sandwich with Black Mountain Rag. Thank you. Part American Hoedown, part 12 Bar Blues, part Farmyard Impressions Session. See what you can pick up on Radio 3's In Tune. It's astonishing, isn't it? That was Black Mountain Rag, performed live here at Sage Gateshead by Project Jam Sandwich. They are violinist Katie Foster, cellist Abel Selico, percussionist Delia Stevens, guitarist Henry Alexander, and bassist Ali McMath. On Twitter, you'll find them at #SpreadTheJam. As it says on Delia's T-shirt. They launched their debut EP, Whistle Stop Tour, this summer. They were discovered by World on 3 when they uploaded a track of themselves to BBC Introducing. So if you fancy your chances, you could do the same. Find yourself playing or singing live on Radio 3. Just go to the World on 3 homepage and look for the link to BBC Introducing. Well, you're listening to World on 3, live from Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival Ideas at Sage Gateshead. I'm Andrew McGregor. Thanks for joining me and the audience here in the Northern Rock Foundation Hall. We'll be meeting one of the great folk singers Peggy Seeger later, and some other members of the McColl family, plus new recordings from Portuguese fado star Marisa and classic Mississippi blues from the great Charlie Patton, taking us back to the 1920s. But first, here's someone else who's a pretty good fit for our free-thinking theme of cultural nonconformists. He's a musician from Côte d'Ivoire, born Moussa Doumbia, far better known to us, I think, as Ivorian reggae master Tikkun Jah Fakoly. We heard him recently at WOMAD. This is his new album covering reggae standards by the likes of Bob Marley and Peter Tosh. This is Burning Spear's Slavery Days. Jamaica and Africa are eternally linked, writes Tikkun Jah Fakoly on the sleeve, by the music, by the history, and by the people.
Thank you. Mandem-nos meu coração, um do outro assim perdido. Somos dois gritos calados, dois fados desencontrados, dois amantes desunidos. Somos dois gritos calados, dois fados sem contras, dois amantes desunidos. Por ti sofro e vou morrendo, não te encontro nem te entendo. Amo e odeio sem razão. Coração, quando te cansas das nossas mortas esperanças, quando paras, coração, coração, quando te cansas das nossas mortas esperanças, quando paras, coração. Nesta luta, nesta agonia, canto e choro de alegria. Sou feliz e desgraçada. Que sina a tua, meu peito, que nunca estás satisfeito. Dás tudo e não tens nada. Que sina a tua, meu peito, que nunca estás satisfeito. Que dás tudo e não tens nada. Na gelada solidão que tu me das, coração, não há vida nem há morte. É lucidez de satino de ler no próprio destino, sem poder mudar-lhe a sorte. É lucidez satino de ler no próprio destino.
Sage sandwich that was. You just heard Mississippi Boweevil Blues, recorded by Charlie Patton in 1929, recently reissued on The Rough Guide to the Blues Songsters, which is a fascinating primer to the world of the songsters, really. The predecessors of the bluesmen, human jukeboxes of their time, the sleeve notes tell us, and proves it with tracks from Henry Thomas and Mississippi John Hurt right through to Blind Blake and Lead Belly. In the middle, you heard one of those Portuguese fado torch songs from Marisa, Saudade Solta, which translates roughly as loose nostalgia, I think. And that's from her new album, Mundo. I still fondly remember giving her a pair of Radio 3 wellies at a particularly mud-splattered WOMAD festival a few years ago. And the other side of the sandwich was Burning Spear's Slavery Days, Ivorian reggae star Tikkun Jah Fakoly from his new album of classic reggae covers called Racine. Now, the lyrics for the outer two tracks were pretty clear, even as long ago as 1929, but how many of us speak enough Portuguese to make sense of something like that song we just heard from Marisa? No matter how much her voice and music touch our hearts, it's always an issue when it comes to understanding the music and the poetry of other cultures, even in countries as far-flung as Scotland and the Gaelic language. And it's time I introduce my next guest, Peter Mackay, because Peter, he's from the University of St Andrews. He's actually here at Sage Gateshead for the Freethinking Festival to give a talk tomorrow afternoon called Kilts, Celts and Clearances in World War I. Peter, can you give us a brief summary of your thesis for tomorrow?
A very brief summary. I'll be looking at the kilted regiments in the First World War and asking why it was that people with no connection to the Highlands quite often signed up for the kilted regiments. What was it about the glamour, the mystique of the kilt, and was there anything tragic about that attraction? And I'll be talking about poetry, largely, because it's poetry that I do.
Well, we'll talk a little about poetry right now. And now, look, I may be a MacGregor, proud of my Scottish ancestry, obviously. You can tell from my accent that I'm pretty unlikely to be a Gaelic speaker. I still find it a bewitching language, spoken or sung. What is it about the language that's somehow so inherently musical?
We have lots of vowel sounds, which helps. Lots of vowel sounds rather than consonants, so you can have different variations of ah and oh, and these long elongated vowels. It's a very mellifluous, rhythmic, flowing language. And certainly if you're listening to a Gaelic song or a Gaelic poem, if you aren't getting the emotional resonance, then there's probably something wrong with either the song or the performance, because much of that should be able to carry across. And so the great Scottish Gaelic poet, Sorley MacLean, was obsessed with auditory sensuousness, the idea that in every poem you should have a rhythm that is more or less a tightrope across the abyss of silence. And so what you have are these wonderful flowing rhythms along the lines of Nian, a whole voe, Rim foe or foe, Fion the viol, so is gurn the yorp in Nian, or yell, Hasser lochair och foyoch, Vig mashlich or la, and ye sharav not foyoxe. So it's a love poem, but it's also a nervous love poem, because this is a poem about why you shouldn't really be writing love poems when you should be going to fight fascism. And so you have this complicated relationship between this mellifluous, flowing rhythm and uncertainty about whether songs and poems are enough. But he wrote the poem.
Now, you regularly give talks and poetry readings to non-Gaelic-speaking audiences. How do you make that work? I would have thought that without some kind of simultaneous translation or subtitles, that's quite a tall order.
Well, you have to be very, very accurate, and your performance in Gaelic has to be better than in English, because you have to pull the audience along with you. But then I tend to give translations myself as well. I tend to give some of the meaning, but of course not the musical meaning. Partly the Gaelic is for myself. So when I read a Gaelic poem to an audience who don't speak Gaelic, there's something selfish in there. I'm allowing the poem to be in the room, in Paul Muldoon's words, in a way that it might not have been before. And then I give some English just to help people out.
Now, what about the folk song tradition in Gaelic? Is it completely separate? It doesn't feel as though it is these days so much, but has it been?
It was in the past. There was a very formal bardic poetry that existed up until the 1700s, and there was a continuous folk song tradition at the same time, and there was some crossover between them, but they were very different things. Between the 1700s and the 20th century, the bardic tradition collapsed for various reasons, and the folk song tradition took over. And so somebody like Sorley MacLean was writing modernist poetry, but with a very strong emphasis on folk song rhythms, much closer to W.B. Yeats, as a poet, say, than to T.S. Eliot.
I've always been drawn to the mouth music of Gaelic tradition, which, you know, it obviously makes the most of the innate rhythmic qualities of the language. Those sort of effectively work songs, sometimes improvised, just based around the rhythm, sometimes of the work, sometimes of the language, sometimes complete nonsense as well.
Yeah, there are fantastic hey ho hairam, stocking and diamond, hey ho hairam. And you're meant to be dancing to it. It just means hey ho hairam, diamond socks. That's all it means. But it's this great rhythm that you can dance to. But it's not just the mouth music. There was poems written to the Colmore, the Piparoch, and those swirling pipe songs, the variations. And there was a genre in the 18th century of poems that were trying to replicate these rhythms.
And are these rhythms and these forms and these older forms still being kept alive in Gaelic poetry today?
They are. Gaelic poetry is as broad as any other language's poetry. So there are some people who have very traditional rhythms. There are some concrete poems that have no rhythm whatsoever. I don't know anybody, say, that is writing contemporary Portia Bale or the mouth music or contemporary pipe music variations, partly because they're so complicated or partly because the culture's moved on.
Well, we must hear you read something of your own. What have you brought for us?
I've brought something that's written on the back of an old song. My great-granduncle was a bard, a village bard from the Isle of Lewis, a bard father. He was known by the name of his book as Fashuel Aglaon, the Walker of the Glens. And he wrote this lovely song of unrequited love just before he emigrated to Niagara Falls. I don't know if there was any connection. There may have been. And so I nicked the refrain of one of his songs and I use it once in a poem of unrequited love. There's nothing quite as unrequited as a refrain that isn't repeated, I think. So this is it. Logoria. Betugel or moige de gargel marirchlish in gaure gorm loish, mogel morivinog. Nan rominam ergien, schanje fer balog fer kuchok, finer targshin gud gil maranoch nache logeria. agus anois hamagail ag chéile, mar bachor is mar bedúl. Gita hat a holis nam spéren, il amarach har a chéil.
You can feel the longing.
It's very hard to find a rhythm that expresses longing, unrequited longing. It has to tail off.
I think you just managed it. Peter Mackay from the University of St Andrews, thank you very much indeed. And you can hear Peter's essay on kilts, Celts and the clearances in World War One here at Radio 3's Free Thinking at Sage Gateshead at, is it 25 past one tomorrow?
Yes.
Right. You're listening to World on 3 at Sage Gateshead. We're going to hear live music from Peggy Seeger, and not one but two McColls, two of her sons, a little later on, and a cappella vocals from the Wilson family. First, though, more new releases. And let's begin with a Scottish duo touring their new album right now. This is Meredith Green and Anna Massey with The Red Poppy, named, they tell us, for a great restaurant in Strathpeffer, and a tune that they actually bought in a charity auction. Thank you.
Joyful Gathering, and that was a song from former Tibetan Buddhist monk Ngawang Lodup, who 10 years ago fled his life in a Tibetan monastery to find a life where he could freely express himself. And after settling in the UK, Ngawang was picked up by BBC Radio 3 as part of that BBC Introducing World Music scheme, and a documentary film about him was just released earlier this week on the BBC iPlayer. It's called From Buddhist Monk to Rockstar. Now, before Ngawang, you heard the sound of Boisan from Segou in Mali, built around the sound of the balafon and traditional drums, and that was from a specially recorded track for the brand new album Lost in Mali from Riverboat Records. And before it, the Scottish duo Meredith Green and Anna Massey, the Red Poppy, from their forthcoming album Best Day, which is coming out in just over a week, I think. They're touring right now. They're actually in King's Place in London tonight while we're up here in Sage Gateshead. Then they're going to Cambridge, Hitchin and Colchester, and then further north during November, ending up in Inverness. So check their website for details if you'd like to catch up with those performances. Now, you're listening to World on 3. The stage has been reset behind me for our next live performance.
And we're in the presence of folk royalty, I think it's fair to say, or at least one of the great dynasties of British folk music. Please welcome Peggy Seeger with her sons Callum and Neil McColl. They're paying tribute at the moment to the boy's father, Peggy's husband, Ewan McColl, in his centenary year, with an album and a tour which has already taken them to Liverpool and Salford earlier this week. And they played Sage Gateshead just last night. They've stayed on for us. And I think you may know this first song. It's a Ewan McColl original, inspired by and written for Peggy Seeger.
At least that's what he told me. The first time ever I saw his face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and empty skies, my home. To the dark and empty skies. First time ever I kissed your mouth, I felt the earth move in my hand, like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command. That was there at my command. The first time ever I lay with you, and felt your heart beat next to mine, joy would fill the earth and last till the end of time, my love, and last till.
First time ever I saw your face, or in this case, his face, written...
That's the first time I've ever done that.
Is it really?
Well, I was thinking about that phone call that he made to me when I was in California. You see, we weren't getting along very well. And you didn't have international calls then, and we were both skint. And I made a call to him because I needed a short new love song that wouldn't last longer than 2 minutes. And so he said, how about this? So I was just remembering the scene in my head, the first time ever I saw his face. Folks, you've just heard it just that way for the one and only time.
What a privilege. And Ewan McColl said of the song that, it of course, it's been sung and performed and recorded by scores of other singers, but he said only Peggy's singing matches the feelings that gave rise to it. I think we've just witnessed that for ourselves. She's proved it again. Can you believe this song's over, well, half a century old and still so fresh?
Yes, I can. It's 60 years old. And it's interesting the length of time that a lot of people take to sing it, because he was a fast worker. And so I sing the song fairly fast, because you get from, you know, first sight to kiss to bed. Now, I sing it in 2 minutes, 20 seconds, and Roberta Flack sings it 5:10. I think her friend took a little bit longer.
Is it 2 minutes, 20 seconds?
That's a long bit of foreplay, isn't it?
I was
interesting family conversation. I feel like I'm eavesdropping here. I think maybe we should put some of this online afterwards. Peggy, is it a song? It must have changed for you, surely, in the last 26 years with you and gone. I mean, it becomes something else, doesn't it?
It's been something else with each stage of my emotional maturity. I'm writing a memoir now, and if anybody wants to know about it, just go on my website, hit contact, say, put me on the memoir list, and I'll put you on the memoir list. That doesn't mean I'll be talking about you, but it just means that I will let you know when it's coming out. So over the years, from singing at age 20, 21, to singing at age 80 now, you have different attitude toward it. And I also have another partner now, a woman. Been there, done both, you know.
So the song
Sorry,
can change.
I know
has
this
different
is live.
But what about all of those covers and all of those different performances? Is it a simple thing for you to sit and enjoy somebody else singing that particular song?
It depends on who it is. I didn't much care for the rap version. and the country one had Scruggs' banjo on it, which always reminds me a little bit of a musical machine gun. No. So a lot depends on the attitude of the singers and whether they're really drowning and putting their own experiences into it. Because when they put their own experiences into it, it immediately makes you folks put yours into it. Because we all remember, hopefully, that first time ever, you know, and the kiss, and then what follows on. At least I hope we remember it at our age.
Well, I think we're going to get a slight gear change now, if I can put it that way, because we're about to hear a traditional American song, Cluck Old Hen. We're going to hear two songs from you, in fact, Peggy. Mm-hmm. This first one takes you back to your roots in America. So tell us something about it and why have you chosen it for us this evening?
Well, I've chosen it because I love playing it with my sons. Neil's on a slide guitar, Callum's on a guitar, and I'm on a box banjo, which was made out of an old Civil War ammunition box. And usually when I start playing this, classical musicians who are sitting in the audience, their eyes start, crossing because they can't take the fact that I'm nearly always out of tune on it. So it's just right for doing Cluck Old Hen, really.
Well, over to you.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So sing it if you feel like joining in on the zaniest chorus you've ever sung in your life, folks. Good old hen, she lays eggs for the railroad men. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes enough for the whole damn crew. Cluck old hen, cluck and sing, ain't laid eggs since way last spring. Cluck old hen, cluck I say, cluck old hen, I'll give you away. Good old hen, she lays eggs for the railroad men. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes enough for the whole damn crew. Cluck old hen, cluck I tell you, cluck old hen, or I'm gonna sell you. Cluck old hen, cluck I said, cluck old hen, your rooster's dead. My old hen's a good old hen, she lays eggs for the railroad men. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes enough for the whole damn crew. My old hen, she's red and blue, she lays eggs and potatoes too. Lays them in the house, lays them in the barn, scratch up new ground, digging up the corn. For the railroad men, sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes enough for the whole damn crew. My old hen, she's got a wooden leg, best old hen that ever laid an egg, lays those eggs all around the barn. Now another little drink wouldn't do me no harm. Crazy, isn't it? not an easy task choosing songs to sing for this. It's a short time, and we know a lot of long songs, we know a lot of short songs, but I kind of felt it was important to choose a song about hormones. Now, we immediately laugh, but we got hormones that make our livers work, our kidneys work, our pancreases, and all those things that are laid out so neat and tidy like a little puzzle inside us. But when we say hormones, people immediately think, ah, sex. No? Well, I mean, it does, you know. But we are awash in songs about hormones. We really are. All the love songs, I mean, that's hormones. And then we're awash in misconceptions about the importance of, say, the hormones of women and men as far as making women reliable carriers of responsibility in this world, yeah? So this is just very short, and my sons will definitely give me support on this, talking about hormones.
Always.
Always. Everyone knows you can't trust a woman whenever that time rolls around. Everyone knows she can go crazy when her mainspring gets unwound. At that certain time, a woman is prone to indisposition, and it's not unknown for her to be touchy, a little bit slow. So we can't entrust her with running the show. Everyone knows you can't trust a woman. She might slip out of gear. She bays at the moon. She's a walking womb a dozen times a year. Low on ego, high on id. Victim of her hormones, her mind's like a sieve. You can't trust a person who would flip her lid every 28 days. When his mainspring's overwhelmed, the needle points north, south, east, and west. He's never at peace, he's never at rest. Victim of his hormones, running too fast, steering the ship with his mind on the mast. Everyone knows you can't trust a man. Things might slip out of gear. A walking, talking, divining rod 10,000 times a year. And the power and the glory, the whole damn show. Everything except that old status quo can all go to hell when the signal says go. Any time of day.
Everyone knows. Can we call it a hormonal hymn? I think we can. Words and music by Peggy Seeger, accompanied here live on stage at Sage Gateshead by her sons Callum and Neil McCall. Now, Peggy, I read somewhere that that was actually a song born out of the sex scandals in British politics in the 1990s. Was I right about that?
Nope. It was actually... what was it? I think this, it was something about women would not make good airline pilots because of our hormones. Something like that. But I don't know what sex scandal it is. There's so many of them about.
I shall take that off my database straight away. You've got this new tribute album for Ewan McCall's centenary this year. Did you have any control over who sang what? Were you sort of actively involved in it?
No,
they wouldn't
didn't.
Have wanted to let me have any control over it. I would not have made it the innovative and creative album that it is. I would have probably stuck closer to kind of the folk, whatever it is. But they weren't folk songs, and I'm fascinated by what the different artists have done with them. Some of them are absolutely gripping. One of them is Neil's oldest son is singing a song about schoolboys who were killed in an air crash. And it's relentless. It just, you keep wanting to say, don't get on that plane, don't get on that plane, with the way they're singing it. It's beautiful. And I think Paul Brady does a lovely job of the, is it Freeborn Men?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Chaim Tannenbaum, my old man. I mean, I could just list them. I love it. I love it.
Well, don't list them. We'll go out and buy it. Surely you don't need to tour to keep Ewan's music alive, do you? What draws you back on stage? Is it a sort of compulsion? You have to perform, you still have to relive these songs in public?
Well, I don't sing a lot of his songs. A lot of them were about men and men's lives. He didn't write a lot about women. Also, I've made up a lot of songs myself. But I suppose what really keeps me on stage is ego. You know, it's anybody who gets up on a stage, you know, it's like what Gore Vidal said about becoming a president. Anybody who's willing to run for the job of president of the United States should be automatically disqualified. But most people who get up on stage, there is something about pushing ourselves. I was talking to Damien Dempsey about this last night. He says he just loves getting up on stage and seeing everybody enjoy with you. You create an enjoyment, a group enjoyment. It's kind of like a temporary community. And I was watching you while I was singing, and everyone knows. And some of you are trying not to laugh too loud, and others are, mouths open, what? Every 28 days, yeah. So a lot of reasons for, but Ewan's songs are just so beautiful and so varied. I would caution anybody who is only hearing this album to go and listen to him singing them as well, because there's many ways to sing the same song. First time ever has been recorded by what? Neil, was it about 200 people or something like that? Each of them doing their own way. Now, isn't that some song that can stand being sung by several hundred people, each in their own way, and the song, you know, it hasn't been battered to death? It's absolutely wonderful.
It's endlessly fascinating, isn't it? And it's partly because it's such a simple song in its way as well, isn't it? There's room for other interpreters and other voices and other musical ideas. Now, Peggy...
Good question, by the way. Thank you for asking me why one is on stage, because it's important to say that we do like to strut and get praise. You know?
Rare honesty from a performing musician. I think that's important as well. Now, Peggy, the last song we're going to hear, well, it takes you back to your childhood in some ways, doesn't it? And what was the starting point? I was wondering if it's the fading memories that are mentioned in the song.
Two things. I really began to miss my mother when I turned 60, and that was 20 years ago. Really began to miss her. Ruth Crawford Seeger, Google her to find out. She was a wonderful musician, wonderful mother. So at 60 years old and you're missing your mom. And then I was talking to a friend whose childhood home had been completely ruined and surrounded by office buildings and all the trees cut down. And she was crying, Boston friend. She's saying, you know, this is not fair. I went back to see my childhood home and it's just a wreck in the middle of wrecks. And so everything changes, which is a universal principle of all. Of course, nothing is constant but change. We have to learn how to deal with it. You know, we do. Okay, the song's called Everything Changes. The house I lived in when I was a child had woods. We all ran wild, you could hide, then come home after a while. The town I lived in when I was young, everybody knew my name, the world was my own. Safe in the dark, playing games, till Mama called me home. But that was then, now it's now. Everything changes somehow. The house I lived in, the town I lived in, everything changes, everything. Mm.
your own, your very own. Mom, it's late, time to call me home. The house I live in my hometown, the trees, the city cut them down, it's all changed, you can't hide. The house stands here, lonely and strange. I sit and cry, the children, their world's on a screen. They play games alone, oh, was it a dream? When Mama called me home. But that was then, now it's now. Everything changes somehow. The house I live in, the world I live in. Everything changes, everything, everything. It's dark and I'm afraid. I'm your little girl child, your own, your very own. Mama, it's late, time to call me home. I'm your little girl child, out here alone. Mama, it's late, please call me
home. Everything Changes, written and performed by Peggy Seeger, memorably introduced by her as well for us. And Peggy performing for us live with her son, Callum McColl, on guitar. And they've not quite finished touring yet. I think there's a Barbican date, isn't it, still in London?
Monday,
this coming Monday. That's the 9th, isn't it? What an honour to have her here with us at Sage Gateshead tonight as part of her tour with sons Neil and Callum McColl, remembering their father Ewan, born a century ago in 1915. Well, this is World on Three at Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival Ideas here at Sage Gateshead. Our last live performers tonight hail from, well, not a million miles away, the a cappella vocal harmonies of the Wilson family, coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, something from an unusual collaboration that's released next week. It's a former Radiohead guitarist, Johnny Greenwood, hooking up with a troupe of Sufi musicians from India, the Rajasthan Express, and an Israeli composer, Shai Bensur, who lives and works in India, and he writes his own qawwali in Hebrew, Urdu, and Hindi. This is the title track from the new album, Janoon. I'm told it means a mania, the madness of love. We'll be right back. Janoon, the title track from the new album featuring composer Shai Ben Tsur, guitarist Johnny Greenwood and Indian ensemble the Rajasthan Express. The album's released on the 20th of November, recorded in a makeshift studio in a 15th century fort in Jodhpur. There's already a film of the project, as you might be guessing, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, and it made its debut at the New York Film Festival last month. And while we've been listening to it, the Radio 3 production team has had time to reset the stage for our last live music tonight. No instruments, just the voices of five siblings from County Durham who've been singing together a cappella since the 1970s and show no sign of stopping. Thank goodness, to perform a local song from Tyneside, as if you couldn't guess from the title, Biker Hill. Please welcome the Wilson family.
They drink bumble made from gin.
Then to dance they do begin to the tune of the Elsie Marley. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore.
When first I went down to the dirt, I had no coat nor no pit shirt.
But now I've gotten two or three Walker pits still well by me. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore. Geordie Charlton, he had a pig. He hit it with a shovel and he danced a jig. All the way to the Walker Shaw, to the tune of the Elsie Marley. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, call your lads forevermore.
Biker Hill, performed, well, right where it ought to be, on the banks of the Tyne. By the Wilson family, brothers Tom, Chris, Steve, Ken and Mike. It turns out you're not so much Tyneside as Teesside, though.
Teesside through and through, yeah. There's a land of three rivers in the northeast here, bordered by the Tyne in the north, the Tees in the south, the Weir somewhere in the middle.
Which no one talks about.
And we like to say that we support the whole region by coming from
Tom's
the south.
Tom's just proven he got his O-level geography. That's all he's doing.
Now, when did it first occur to you to start actually singing as a family? It seems to have started quite slowly, because, I mean, you why
last
quite
Tuesday,
a...
when we were asked to come in. No. It started with Chris and Steve going to a local folk club in Billingham back in the 70s, and Tom, unbeknown to us, was down in London doing exactly the same thing. So Chris and Steve were taken under the wing of luminaries from the folk scene at the time. The likes of Martin Carthy was very influential on these two. By the time Tom got back home, these two were already singing in folk clubs. So
we were about 14 and 16, and my mum used to need to get rid of us to save a bit of money, so we went off for some holidays and never came back. We just came to the festivals all the time, really.
And you started your own folk club, and then you established there were these sort of week-long song festivals at the Whitby Folk Festival, weren't there? I mean, did they really last a week?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, we were younger then. We couldn't do it now. But in those days, basically, we would get into a session. We were very much against the establishment in that we objected to the fact that there should be people paid to sing music, whereas all we wanted to do was enjoy music.
We never charge anyone to come and sing us.
In those days. So in those days, So in those days, what we wanted to do, and we did it with our club as well as down at Whitby Festival, we sort of re-established our club in Whitby Festival for the week, and it was to provide a platform for any singers to come and sing songs. There didn't have to be a name on the folk scene or anything like that. If they had a good song, we gave them a platform to be able to come and sing it. And that was a bit self-perpetuating itself in that it made us learn more songs ourselves. Because if you were singing every day for a week at a festival, you couldn't sing the same song over and over again, obviously. So it created a great sort of learning process for us all. As well as having a great time.
Another part of the learning process seems to have been the time of the miners' strike in the 1980s, and you became pretty well known for travelling up and down doing fundraisers. And were you also tapping into a sort of ready-made seam of songs from the mining community?
Well, we have on the doorstep the Elliots of Birtley, the Elliott family from Birtley, who constantly reminded us of the rich tradition of the mining community in song. And we're very lucky still to have one or two of them around today. So,
Dorian,
yeah.
And the thing is that they're like our northeast royalty. We've had Peggy on, but they're our northeast royalty.
Yeah, so yeah, we were aware. We were brought up in Billingham, so we're on the south side of the Durham coalfield. It's impossible to not know how important that industry and those communities were to this region.
Mm. And given free thinking, I mean, that's what this area is known for. It's known for songwriters who write terrific songs, and we were at a festival at the Headland in Hartlepool the other week, and we had a night called Come All You Bold Miners, and the amount of performers on there, and I won't name any because you'd have to name the lot, and the fantastic writers, and just a lot of the audience will know them as well. A lot of the audience were there as well. And that's the brilliant thing, that we can tap into so much in the Northeast.
Well, as youngsters, Chris and myself, that's the sort of environment that we sort of developed our singing in. And you mentioned the miners' strike. These songs go back to the 1860s, sort of like about the mining environment.
Oh, we're going to hear two of them next, I think, aren't we? So who's going to introduce them for us?
Well, generally, I introduce the songs in the group. We share it around.
The rest of us correct you.
The rest of them correct me. The first of these two songs isn't, in fact, an actual coal mining song. In fact, neither of them are really coal mining songs. The first one, they're both to do with coal mining or revolve around coal mining. The first song was written in 1951 by a local singer from Teesside, a fellow called Graham Miles, who took it upon himself to write a whole tradition about the Tees and its environs. And he wrote this song when he was 15-year-old, his first completed song called Sea Coal. And it was about collecting sea coal off the beaches of the northeast, Hartlepool in particular. And that's followed by a song written by a fellow from Gateshead, whose father was a miner, called Alex Glasgow, who subsequently got fame by writing in conjunction with Alan Plater, a player called Close the Coal House Door. So the first song, Sea Coal, and the second song will be Close the Coal House Door.
And we're going to hear them sung by the Wilson family. Thank you, gents.
Sea coal, sea coal, hear the man call. Sea coal, sea coal, hear the man call. If we go and buy a bag, we'll have no cleft at all, for we need our shillings to buy bread and meat. But if we must go hungry, then at least we'll have feet. Sea coal, sea coal, hear the man call.
just a few shillings for the finest of fuel. So come stoke up your fires now, for the weather is cruel. It's a cold place in winter, is old Hartlepool. See coal, see coal, hear the man call. See him at the end of the road. If we don't go and buy quick, it all will be sold. For I can see by his wagon that small is his load. But if we must go hungry, then we needn't go cold. See call, see call, hear the man call, see call.
Thank you. As we said, that song was written by a great hero of ours, a mentor called Graham Miles. This next song has been a song that's been with us for as long as we sang folk songs. We were, of course, very much aware, as contemporaries of ours, of the children that were buried in the slag heap at Abervan in 1966. And certainly one verse in this song reflects that. It's written by Alex Glasgow, and it's called Close the Courthouse Door.
Close the courthouse door, lad. There's blood inside. Blood from broken hands and feet. Blood that's dried on pit-black meat. Blood from hearts that know no beat.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's blood inside.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's bones inside. Mangled, splintered piles of bones. Light buried neath a pile of stones. And not a soul to hear their groans.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's bones inside.
Close the coal house door, lad. For there's bends inside. Bends who knew that mountainside. Bends who had no time to hide. Bends beneath the blackness slide.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's bends inside. Close the coal house door, lad, and stay outside.
Geordie's standing at the door, while Mrs. Jackson, like a fool, complains about the price of coal.
Close the coal house door, lad, and stay outside.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's blood inside.
Close the coal house door, lad. There's bones inside.
Close the coal house door, lad. For there's bends inside.
Close the coal house door, lad. And stay outside.
Close the Coal House Door, written in the 1960s around the time of the Abervan disaster by Gateshead songwriter Alex Glasgow, performed in his backyard by the Wilson family, Tom, Chris, Steve, Ken and Mike. Now, when you perform songs like this, these the mining songs as well, do you see yourselves as keepers of the flame?
Yeah, it's a conduit to the past, I think. All folk song is.
the great tradition in the Northeast is now the Miners' Gala. I mean, we don't have any deep sea mines anymore in the Northeast, and very few in the whole country. But that's not to say that we shouldn't celebrate the dignity of those miners in the past and the struggles that they've helped everybody else in their struggles as well. So the stand-up there, their stand-up was a beacon, not us. We just celebrate their songs and their traditions. And it's the same with anything in the folk process, I think, that we do. We remember the past. We don't necessarily agree with everything that went on in the past, but we respect the past. I think keeping the past alive is a very important part of what we involve ourselves in the folk process for.
But respect for it, but also reinvention as well.
Yeah.
Is this something you do self-consciously, or just a natural part of communicating through these songs? They just evolve for you.
That's what they were there for in the first place. You know, it is a community. It's like Peggy was saying earlier on, it's a community that comes together and shares these things. And, you know, you can only learn from looking back and to look forward. And I think that's what these songs help you do. You know, there's a lot of still very sound messages within some of the folk songs that we sing.
Are they, effectively, some of them still the protest songs they were intended as? Do they still work?
Very much so. Yeah, I mean, I think the song we're going to finish off with started off as a mining recruiting song, and it's started off in the Northeast, and then it went to Wales and over to America, and the same message has been there. And it's, even though the industry that it refers to is dead and gone, the message is still there. You know, you should look after your fellow citizen. That's what a lot of these songs say. And, you know, that's irrespective of whether it's talking about mining or talking about IT industry or whatever it is, the message is still the same.
Fight collectively,
yeah.
Because we've seen too much about the way what happens if you can pick individuals off and do it on a more private basis, if you like.
Yeah. I think it also taps into emotion. I think what Mike referred to earlier about this celebration that we had just a couple of weeks ago at a local festival in Hartlepool, and there was the Durham Miners Association brass band there as well. They played behind this next song that we're going to do, and the emotion that was felt within a very big crowd. I mean, I don't know how many were there.
That was probably at least about 155,000, I think.
at least that. Oh, you're playing yourself down again, Mike.
It was a big church.
But really, I mean, the emotion, there was tears in people, you know, in people's faces. There was just this communal sort of feeling that, no, we don't have to lie down and accept. You know, these guys didn't, and that's why we're here where we are today. You know, because of the struggles of these people in the past, they laid the platform for a better life for us. We shouldn't stop the struggle. You know?
And it's a vital part of community, yeah, and it brings a community together around this music. Are you finding that there's a new generation taking these a cappella traditions and the tradition of the harmony song and bringing it forwards?
Yeah, I mean, we've...
Very encouraging. There's a lot of them getting
We've got a particular set of lads in the Northeast that used to come along to our club. They were cheeky... Can I use this on radio? They were cheeky buggers, really, because they'd come along to our practices.
They are appearing here on Sunday.
And they won't criticise me for saying it. But they were just young lads, you know. They're still only in the 20s, late 20s. And they'd come along and blatantly put a microphone out there at our practice sessions while we... and then suddenly we'd find out a week later they'd learnt the song before we had. and off they'd go, which is great. You know, I mean, that's what we want to do.
He said through gritted teeth.
No, the great lads...
We love them to death. We love the great lads.
They're carrying it on.
What's nice for us is that we've seen a lot of this younger... The people who are getting involved in folk now, sort of the younger bands. You had the Unthanks on last night with Peggy, and the young'uns that we were mentioning there, Kate Rusby. We've seen them all sort of, since they've all been sort of like little dots, and it's great.
But there are pockets and there's areas in Sheffield, it's particularly full and wealth of great singers and And that's been different because there's been lots of musicians.
You've said that in loads of interviews recently. Yeah. Are you on their payroll? Sheffield's
good. and really, what's important about that is that these youngsters are coming along and they're not just playing but they're singing as well, and that's what it's all about. And it's about moving on.
Well, it's brilliant to hear that it's in such rude health. It is in your voices anyway, the Wilson family. And we're going to hear the last song from you this evening. You've already sort of part introduced it for us. He finished the job.
The Miner's Lifeguard. What can you say about it? It's a song that's been around for at least 100 years. It was sung as a song to encourage people to join the union, particularly the Miners' Union. But this is spread. This is a good example of how a folk song can spread itself worldwide, because it has been taken from the Northeast into Wales, into the Appalachians, Coalfield, and across the world, and it's come back to us as well. So it's a song that shows the sort of joy, and particularly if this audience can join in with us, which we hope you will in the chorus. It's a simple chorus, but a really evocative chorus.
Evocative chorus. Thank you.
Miner's life is like a sailor's, board a ship to cross the waves. Every day his life's in danger, still he ventures being brave. Watch the rocks, they're falling daily, careless miners always fail. So keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. Union miners, stand together, do not heed the owner's tale. Keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. You've been docked and docked again, boys, you've been lulled into the one. But what have you to show for working, since your mind has begun? It's worn out boots and worn out miner, lungs are stored and children pale. So keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. Union miners, stand together, do not heed the owner's tale. Keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. In conclusion, bear in memory, keep the password in your mind, that God provides for every worker when in union they combine. So stand like men and link together, victory for you will prevail. So keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. Union miners, stand together, do not heed the owner's tale. Keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. Union miners, stand together, do not heed the owner's tale. Keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale.
The Wilson family bringing, well, Teesside to Tyneside with that miners' union recruiting song. They left me to do the Coles to Newcastle line. I thought they'd get it in. Thanks to brothers Tom, Chris, Steve, Ken and Mike. Thanks to all our live guests, of course. Project Jam Sandwich, Peggy Seeger and her sons Callum and Neil McColl, all of them making this edition of World on Three such a special one. And, of course, to the production team here at Sage Gateshead for making it possible at all. I'm going to be back in the pop-up studio in the concourse tomorrow morning for CD review from 9 o'clock. Next week, no World on Three. It's the start of Radio 3's EFG London Jazz Festival, so take a look at the Radio 3 homepage for details of everything that's going on with that. But we'll leave you tonight with someone who's the epitome of the maverick musician, the unruly rebel, the cultural nonconformist, Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti, whose albums from the 1970s and 80s are still so popular that half a dozen of them have just been reissued on vinyl, although I'm told that digital diehards can download them as well. A new film featuring Idris Elba took its name from this one, Fela's Beasts of No Nation.
The time we had day for prison, I call them inside world. The time we had day outside prison, I call them outside world. My Chris world, not be outside the world. Chris not one. Be outside the police day. Chris not one. Be outside the soldier day. Chris not one. Be outside the court them day. Chris not one. Be outside the magistrate day. Chris not one. Be outside the judge them day. Chris now Chris world be that. Chris not one. Be outside Buhari day. Chris now Chris man be that. Chris and one. The man in Chris man skinny. A Chris Wall be that, Chris not be one. Outside the Diagon day. Chris one. A Chris man be that, Chris animal one. In Christmas cleaning. A Chris Wall be that, Chris not be one. Outside and find me guilty. Chris not one. Be outside and jail me 5 years. I no do nothing, Chris not one. Be outside and judge they beg you. A Chris Wall be that. Chris you. A Chris Wall be that, Chris not be one. Outside and kill them students. Chris so went to Zari and Ife. A Chris Wall be that. A Chris Wall be that, Chris not be one. Outside all this day happen. A Chris Wall be that. 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 Make you hear this woman. Oh, I guess in discipline you. The Nigerian government you. Them they talk you. My people are useless. My people are senseless. My people are in discipline. The Nigerian government you. Them they talk me that. My people are useless. My people are senseless. My people are in discipline. I never hear that before. Make government talk you. My people are useless, my people are senseless, my people are in discipline. A Nigerian government, you, them they talk be that. Which guy talk be that, you? Now Chris talk be that, you. Now animal talk be that, you. Now animal talk be that, you.
World on Three with Andrew McGregor was recorded earlier this evening in Gateshead. Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival continues with breakfast tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. It's 1 o'clock.
Hello and welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. I'm Katrina Young and I've got two concerts for the price of one tonight, both given by the wonderful Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra, but performing on different occasions and under two different conductors. Their music director Daniel Harding took charge of one of them. His contribution was Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, but for the two works I'm starting with, they were led by an extraordinary young man, just 21 when he stepped onto the podium, but already 5 years into his professional career. He's the Venezuelan Ilich Rivas, and tonight we're going to hear what he made of Ravel's Tzigane, and first the academic festival overture by Brahms.